Hey, you're listening to episode number 20 of the Obsessive Creative Podcast. This is a community of relentless creators, and here we talk about what it's like to be compelled and obsessed to create work that matters. I'm your host, Luke Cleland, and you can stay up to date on all things obsessive and creative by following me on Instagram at LukeWTCleland. Let's get into the show. So this is episode 20, and I can't believe it. I actually made it past three episodes before I started this podcast. So there's this certain storyline that I believed about podcasts. And maybe you have a similar idea, or maybe you have a completely different view of podcasts. I think the first one was like, I'm just going to run out of things to talk about, or things like, how am I going to keep making talking about something every week? Or I would be like terrible at it, or there's like no one is ever going to listen to anything. Or like, if you think of a podcast, it's just because you think super highly of yourself or whatever. You can't do it this way. You've got to do it this way. You can't do this, and you have to do that. It's kind of like this paradigm I had in my mind of what it looked like to do a podcast. And if I didn't fit that criteria, or if how I was doing it didn't fit a criteria, then I shouldn't do it at all. And we have so many paradigms in our mind. We have so many stories that we tell ourselves over and over again, and especially about creativity, especially about the work that we're trying to do. And we're constantly repeating these stories to ourselves, and we're constantly telling ourselves how the world works, like what we're made out of, what we can do and what we can't do, what we should call ourselves or what we shouldn't call ourselves. Like, am I an artist? Am I a photographer? Like, what am I? But how often are those stories actually true? How often are those stories written by you? And as creatives, our work, I believe, comes so much out of stories. The stories that we see, enjoy, believe, and the stories we tell ourselves. And that all comes out of what we believe and what we believe to be true. And so it's really important that we're aware of and we know the stories that we tell ourselves every day. The story that we live, the story that is written by us and not given to us by someone else, because this will deeply affect the type of work we make. I've been listening to two books recently. One is The Ride of a Lifetime by Bob Iger and Creative Inc. by Ed Catmull. These two books are kind of autobiographies, more or less. One is a CEO of Disney, and the other was a co-founder of Pixar. And I found autobiographies really interesting just in the first place, because I think about what it's like to actually write them. There's got to be this weird interplay of what, you know, the person who's writing it, what they believe about themselves and what they want to tell about themselves. And then the world that will read this book, what they think about them. And how they'll interpret what they're saying. I think it's fascinating. And I've been wondering, like, what would it look like if I wrote an autobiography of myself? Like, not like really write one, like as a book, but for my, like, what would happen if I wrote some things down as if I was doing it for a book? Like, this, don't get me wrong, this is just an exercise. What if I wrote down like what I think in my head every day, what I think about the work that I do? And one of the first thoughts, one of those first thoughts that came in as I was kind of thinking through that exercise is like, who's writing the story here? Am I writing the story? Like, am I going to write what other people think of me, or what other people want me to be like, or what I think they want me to be like? Or am I writing it because it's my story? So I think part one kind of writing your own creative autobiography is just to make sure that you're not writing someone else's story, that you're writing your own. And here are three kind of things to spot in your own, as you write your own autobiography. Here are three things to kind of spot if you're starting to write someone else's story. And so I think the first thing is the realization, and I think this actually helps. I didn't actually physically write anything down, but I started thinking through, like, okay, what would I like actually write down? And one of the things to spot, and something that I spotted, was that, I don't think I would write this in the first place. So I love golf. I don't golf a lot, but when I do, I love it. It's the perfect, like, I'm not like a golfer, like I do it every weekend or anything, but it's just the perfect combination of exercise, sports, and just talking. You get to be competitive, you get to work out, and you get to chat. And I had this revelation this past week. I was cleaning out my golf bag before I was leaving to play. And do you know what was inside? A bunch of broken tees. Like a lot of broken tees. And if you're not familiar with golf, the tee is like a little wooden like stick, or like a little wooden prop that you put your ball on to hit off from. And I had this thought, like, why do I keep broken tees in my bag? Well, because I do. Like, because why do I? I'm not really sure why these are in my bag. And the more that I thought about it, I realized that I had this habit of picking up a tee that was left on the ground and be like, oh, I could use this for myself, and I'll toss it into my bag. And this is the first thing that kind of clued me into thinking that this whole broken tee thing in my bag was fishy, is because as I was like pulling more and more of these like garbage tees out of my bag, they were different colors, they were scratched, they were broken. And there was like alarm bells going off for a slight perfectionist as myself, because I was like, the more that I looked at them and the more of the variety that I saw, drove me crazy. And this thought came to my mind, is like, I just want to throw these all out. And I was like, what? You can't throw them out. You need them. I was like, what is happening in my brain? Like, this is ridiculous. I'm just trying to clean out my golf bag here. But as I like pulled them all out and threw them into a pile, I was like, I do not like these. I want them to be the same. I want them to be the same size, shape. I want the uniformity. I want them to be like in perfect shape. And all of a sudden, this storyline came crashing down. I had been doing this thing for years. I had this story that I told myself that I didn't even realize wasn't me. Someone else wrote that story and I adopted it. The story of you need to pick up broken tees and save them. And I adopted it without realizing. I wouldn't write that myself, because I can't stand having all these different types of tees, different colors, shapes. I want one shape, I want one color, and I want them to be clean, tidy, and perfect. So what are you doing in your creative practice that you're doing because, one, you feel like you have to, because this is just the way the things are done and you need to do this? What is expected of you? Like what you feel like other people expect you to do. And the great thing about writing your own story, doing your own work, is that you get to do it. Number two, not only can you recognize someone else's writing your story when it doesn't like seem to fit who you are, but it doesn't fit in your priorities. So to add to my confusion in this golf bag cleaning saga, I found this huge bag of tees that I've had for years in pristine condition. And why have I not been using these more? And then I was like, okay, you know what? I haven't purchased tees in forever. So I'm going to look up how much this bag of tees were. $12 for 200. So like cents each, Why was I spending so much time and thought on something that cost 7 cents? Like, I could be on a golf, I could be thinking about, okay, how did my shot go? Instead, I was like, oh, let me pick up this tee off the ground. Instead, I could have been like, oh, what a beautiful day. I'm enjoying this time. But no, I was picking up broken tees off the ground. And not only that, especially I don't golf all the time. And so when I do, one golf game is much more expensive than like 7 cents or 5 cents or whatever it is. So to be worrying about something that was so inconsequential to my priorities seemed ridiculous. Because when I play golf, my priorities aren't about how much money I can save by finding tees or find golf balls in the water, because I only play a few times a year. So maybe if I'm playing every day, I'll be a little bit more concerned about these like expenses. But my priority is to enjoy the game in a way that I like to enjoy it, because I don't do it often. So this focus on tees was changing my priorities without me even realizing it. And I know this is kind of like a silly story, but as this whole like cleaning out my golf bag like happened, I just it made so clear to me how easily this can happen in my creative work, especially on just a daily basis of the grind of work. So easily can little things start slipping in that aren't important to you, that aren't your priority, but they start slowly taking over things. Because everyone has priorities and everyone wants to make their priorities your priorities. But if we're going to make creative work that matters, something has to matter to us. Something has to be priority to us, not someone else's priority. And when you check the story that you're telling yourself, you can check if it lines up with your actual priorities, so they don't start hindering that creative autobiography that you want to tell yourself. Because ultimately, there are only so many hours in a day, and you want to be spending them with what you value most. Lastly, a big red flag to reveal when other people are writing your autobiography is when it's a negative story that you're hearing, and that it's aimed right at you. I think these are the most damaging stories, and often it's things that we hold really close to ourselves and we feel like they define us. And you know, they've often come from like being bullied or someone saying something mean to us or passive aggressively saying something to us, and we often carry a story that you've been yelled at for too long. But what if they aren't even true? What if they are just someone else's story for you? What if it's just someone else's story that came as a result of their insecurity and their jealousy and their problems, and it's not actually you at all? And when you're told you're not an artist, when you're told you're not smart enough or talented enough, I think often these are attitudes that just get adopted because other people are willing to throw them at us. And one thing that I started to tell myself in one of these negative stories was that I couldn't be consistent. I would keep starting all these projects and then I'd drop them. And I would have an idea and I'd say I'm going to do something and then I'd lose interest. So a storyline that I started to tell myself, because this is what I thought other people thought of me, was that I couldn't be consistent. That I had such a hard time keeping interest in things that I wanted to start something new all the time. And I wanted to, and then I started to tell myself this negative story that I couldn't really amount to anything. Because if I was going to do anything long enough to be good at it, that I'd actually need to do it long enough. And one day I realized how many times I was telling myself this negative story. How many times that idea came up in that internal dialogue that writes your autobiography. And I realized, nope, I don't want that in my story anymore. I looked at the negative story and I thought, how can I take this negative thing and find the right side of it? Is it that I'm not consistent, or I don't love a project or not enough, or like, what is it? I think the very first step in even changing something that might be valid in my life or in your creative practice is that recognizing that the negative dialogues that you're telling yourself every day are only going to put you deeper into the ground and not actually change anything. And I realized that this whole negative storyline that I was telling myself was really just a simplification of what I thought other people thought of me. Like, sure, there were things I needed to improve on, but there was also strengths hidden inside that negative story. And the more that I looked at who I was and what I liked, and the more that I looked at, you know, what are my priorities, I could start crafting a new story to tell myself. But first, I needed to face those negative stories head on. I needed to stop writing other people's ideas of me, other people's ideas of what creativity should look like, and start writing my own creative autobiography. Thank you so much for listening this week. Just stop for one moment. Just stop. If you haven't already, I would love, this is a shameless plug, to go and rate this podcast with 5 stars would just be amazing. But please, if you've enjoyed the podcast and you've enjoyed listening, it would mean so much to me, and it helps the podcast so much if you are able to give me a 5 stars. So thanks so much in advance. But I do hope each episode encourages you to lean into who you are as a creative and do work that matters. And until next week, stay obsessed.